Steve's this is like your Sunday red, Tiger's version of Sunday red, Steve's Monday orange.
There you go. Greg in Glasgow.
You're Greg in Glasgow. Maybe I should, if I don't know if he'll be on the agenda for our, not our trip, the wife and I's trip to that part of the world, but I'll go find him for you.
There you go. I can probably find the name of the place we met him.
Okay. All right. Anyways, this is the podcast where I meet you every Monday. It's called Stuff Summer Says with
Steve.
With Steve. It's really warm here today, Steve. You said it was warm there. So at least spring is here. Or maybe summer might even be here. Anyways, I don't know. We've got a podcast. It's just us this week. You're stuck with us. Oh, darn. But I think we've got a couple good topics to talk about and some interesting questions that I want to hear Steve's answers to. He's so excited.
That's great.
We're gonna talk about the concert, we're gonna talk about the draft, we're gonna talk about the segment that I just teased, and then we've got this week's Old Guy Young Guy brought to you by Tonight's Dinner, I think is the best way to say
okay,
that.
Cool.
Okay, all right. You didn't go to the you kind of went to the concert.
I kind of went to the concert. I went in for the last two artists because we were babysitting our granddaughter, but I still had a couple tickets in hand because we weren't really sure exactly how it was going to play out. I offered with technology. I'm like, you know, we could both go and just watch the baby monitor from the stadium. That didn't get a positive response, not surprisingly.
From your wife or from the mother of the child?
If Sam's listening, this is the first time she's heard about that offer.
Okay.
So no, that did not go out widely. I was going to stay home. But then Susan's like, we got the tickets. And I thought, you know, I do want to see what's been different 7 years later from the very first one. I went. It was bigger, much bigger. Picked somebody who could sell the place out. I'm still wrestling with thinking about it, and I'll write for the blog. But like, there were a bunch of people. I don't know what the crossover was with Penn State football fans. Maybe 60% of people, but that may be high. There were a lot of people. Like, I took the escalator in. Once I get in to go up the steps, or instead of going up the steps, took the escalator. And the people in front of me, the woman and two guys, she's like, do you think there'll be a restroom up here? And that just has to be the silliest question I've ever heard someone asking in a sporting stadium, right? So this, and rules followers, at least initially going in, like one thin line coming out of all the gates, like people waiting and then divvying up when they got there, as opposed to the crush of Penn State football, which I seem to be familiar with.
I'd heard that. I'd heard that the, like, essentially, like, you either had to go in gate A or gate B. There wasn't really anything in between.
But they all waited in line. Like, they made a thin line coming back. Well, it was just, God bless
very,
you, rules followers.
Very orderly.
Made it easier for me to get in. Because
did you feel like you got in? Let's pick your brain there, because there, somebody should do a study on that, because I think that's one of the things that is most controversially talked about during game day. Did you feel like in a single line formation that you got into the stadium quicker?
Oh, I didn't stay in a single line formation. I went around and went up to the.
No. Of course, you didn't.
No, so, here's the thing. It's a signage and operational challenge. People think the first thing they're going to. The magnetometer, metal detector, whatever the proper name is where they got to have their tickets, right? So they're getting their tickets out and doing whatever else. And we've already, I guess that's like, I could tell there were fewer people that had been to Beaver Stadium before in the line I was in, because Beaver Stadium had trained people for all those years. Put your hands over your head, take your stuff out of your pocket. And not as many people were doing that. And it didn't matter because they just needed you to go through the thing. So, and then it was finding your tickets. But it wasn't horrible getting in. It was about football game level getting in. I was surprised going in as late as I did, how many people were still going in then? Like, people waited for the final two people because gates opened at 5. I thought, I'm going in at 8:05. There's going to be nothing, and there were still a lot of people going at that point.
Well, we went to a concert even here in DC, or down towards DC, and it was a much smaller venue. It was a little playhouse theater type venue. And there were two opening acts. We wanted to see the second opening act, but we still got there pretty much right, relatively when doors opened, or 10 minutes before, like after doors opened. And I feel like people with concerts have become very trained with showing up late is what I'm getting at here. Because that was very much the same case when we went to that concert, really any concert that I think I've ever been to. Honestly, the only concerts that I can ever think of that actually started on time were Jimmy Buffett concerts. He always started it at 8:30 on the dot.
The country concerts I've been, and maybe this was on a site somewhere that I missed it. So if you're listening and it was, you can tell me where it was, but it wasn't on like Penn State Athletics or Go or the stadium social feeds. Usually with when there's country and there's three acts, they'll say first group 5:45, this one 6:30, headliner 8, and you'll know. And I think they knew that too, but I didn't. I couldn't see that anywhere that was obvious to me. Now maybe it was an old guy fail, but I didn't see that. And once I got in, there were, the beer lines were long. It was kind of crowded and cluttered. There probably could have been some better signage. There was, a fight in the pit at one point, the stuff you have at a concert. So yeah, I mean, I think it seemed to come off well. Like, I mean, I think there's signage stuff, there's directional stuff because fans aren't the first time. It's not the first time in there. There was a slight issue with the bathrooms on the west side of the stadium. Like right when I get in there, like they were telling people they couldn't go in. I'm like, oh, this is why we don't play hockey. But then they got it fixed. Chicken baskets, $15. Is that the regular price?
No, that seems a little. That's they might have been like 12 last season.
Okay, so $15 for chicken basket.
We're like Caliente and like the We Are In. Did you see any of
I
those like
didn't no, I didn't
regional
go up there to that
brands?
end, and I didn't like the pizza place by the student section on the left-hand side of the
Yeah.
student section. That wasn't there because it was all beer stuff in that landing area, and I
Okay.
assume it was all beer stuff on the landing area on the other side of it that mirrored it. And you couldn't go around because the north end was shut off. You couldn't go
Right.
around. I mean, they sold a lot of beer, which I guess is the thing. And I would love to know somewhere, sometime, like how the deal worked. Like, what an artist does an artist get a flat fee? Or this artist especially, who gave up a two-night typical thing, does he get X fee and a percentage of something else? Or it would just be neat to know, right? I mean, and I know that they're probably never going to share that, but I think it'd be neat to know. But in terms of proof of concept, it works. And I guess the parlor game, now is who else does it or when else? Although this weekend, in terms of the when else, it seems like while students are still here, has to be part of the mix. I mean, because they were there last night, and I don't know, do you get to, are they there Saturday? I don't think you get to 80 without students.
Well, I was just going to ask or say that I was thinking about that earlier. I was thinking about how this is probably the only one of two weekends that really you can kind of get away with doing it and feel good about the weather, but also make sure that the field's okay by August, late August, early September. And so I was thinking about that. Like you have to do it either last weekend, well, now 2 weekends ago, or now what was last weekend? So I was wondering about that. You said it was, I mean, it looked relatively packed. I mean, the one video that the Beaver Stadium Twitter slash Instagram posted, it looked very packed to me. I wouldn't say it was 100% full of what I saw, but if the number was 80,000, I have a much more believable time believing that 80,000 than the 67,000 or whatever we were told for the 20,000 attended blue white game.
Right. I mean, and the people on the floor, like on the turf, right, or seats that just aren't ever there before. Yeah, and I think it was a legit, I mean, it was an 80 that I would buy that happened. And I think the weekend, I think the other thing that plays into it in terms of the timing and how often is they're going to replace the turf this year. Like they're going to replace the turf. We talked to the guy from the Brew Fest, and he's told us weeks ago they were going to replace the turf after they were done. I don't know if a concert means they have to do that every year or how they do that. And I think you almost need to be a week or two. You need a week to get ready, right? Like, so right after Blue White is a tough weekend for them to do it. Like, if Blue White were a week later and then having this, that's a tough turnaround because any artist that's touring a stadium has a lot of stuff that comes with them. So I think that almost has to be that, which maybe this, if they did the years they do this, it pushes Blue White earlier, right? As you think about the dominoes. And logistically, because I left early, because I came in, I saw what I wanted to see the operations. I enjoy Luke Combs, but I didn't need to be there to the very end, and I didn't want to deal with parking afterward. When I was leaving, it was really cool logistically, like they were bringing the tour trucks in and getting them in the roped off area, this gate chained off area to get ready to load up before fans started leaving. Like they had an area that was the compound cleared off, and they were bringing the trucks in there, like while he was performing to get ready, so when fans were leaving, they could start moving, which I was operationally. I'm like, oh, that's real good. Like,
Yeah.
so they had a good, athletics had a good partner on this, so people who knew what they're doing from touring wise to put them in a position to succeed for this one too.
How were the acoustics? I know that's a question that is a little bit vague, but that's something I
I
would
think I'm better at
consider.
sound than color. Like, so when the grandkids come, I'm like an eight crayon guy. So I might not be able to tell you like the difference between salmon and some other color that's in some palette somewhere. But it sounded good. Like they had all
Okay.
their own stuff, right? They weren't using stadium sound. I walked around a lot. Like my seats were kind of, how the lower bowl, the seats go up and then you meet like a railing in the middle of the
Yeah.
section. Like you just can't get out. And I'm like, oh, I'm
Yeah.
not going to be able to get out of here. So I got out after the next last opener and then just walk the whole place for Luke Combs. So I was all over the place and it sounded pretty good, pretty much all over the place.
Okay. All right. I did hear that the usual in going in parking and the leaving parking was a disaster. You had kind of mentioned this earlier, but we talked about that logistics aspect, and then we talk about that. I really think there's an opportunity for somebody at SMEAL to make a class that is Penn State football game day logistics 101, and that be the class project to figure out between the parking, getting in and out of State College, and then getting in and out of the stadium, and maybe how you get students into the stadium a little bit earlier.
They paid somebody to do it, what, 3 or 4 years ago, and we've got what we got. It can't be any worse, right? Like,
Yeah,
make a
yeah.
class project and see what they think. I mean, again, you're putting that many people out at the same time on the roads that aren't built for it. I get it. And I think you just got to know, like, we've learned the times we've come to Jiffy Lube in the DC suburbs, just know that, pack a tailgate for afterward, right? Either sprint and get out or pack a tailgate and just try to find a place that you're not going to get all dusty when people are driving by you and understand, you're in for a dime, you're in for a dollar, and you're sticking around to the end.
Jiffy Lube is the worst. It's Starlight is bad, but Jiffy Lube is worse.
The best parking I ever paid for was at Scranton at their amphitheater. We got like this VIP parking. I don't know, it was Dierks Bentley or something. And I'm like, oh, okay, we'll do this. And then they didn't give it to us. And we went up and we walked past the gate from the hinterlands where they parked us. And I told the guy, I'm like, hey, this is open. Like they wouldn't let us come down here. He said, go get your car and come back. So I got my car and came back. And then when we left at the concert, same guy at the end of the concert was there. He's like, follow this golf cart. This golf cart will lead you out of the parking lot. And it took us out to like the main road, and then they stopped traffic for us to get out amidst all the other traffic. I'm like, that is the best $40 VIP investment I've ever made in my life.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So all in all, much better than the Blake Shelton experience.
Yeah, they aren't even, they honestly, they weren't even the same kind of event. I mean,
Really?
they were that different. Like it
Wow.
just, because Blake Shelton, they were figuring it out. Like, we were on the field for whatever reason. People were still friendly with me back then, right? Like, we're on the field, and some guy's coming out of the tunnel with his beer in his hand, and he stopped, like this reverent Penn State fan. He looked at me. I guess I had blue and white on. He's like, can I have the beer on the field? I'm like, yes, yes, you may. Like, go ahead, right? And we've gone from the part where people are afraid to have beer in Beaver Stadium to selling the beer to, it was another football game. I mean, I'm sure operationally and logistically there are things that could be improved, but it works with the right artist. And I am pretty sure I guess I'd be surprised if it didn't work again in a couple of years, the latest.
All right, cool. I'm glad you had a good time. All right, let's discuss the who's next. You posed this question to me, and you said realistic. How did you phrase it? Realistically, who could Penn State get, right?
Realistically, right? Because there's a list of top touring acts of 2023. Ed Sheeran's on that list. Ed Sheeran's not coming to the Jordan Center or not coming to Beaver Stadium.
Let me get my list. Hold on,
Now, I
let
mean,
me.
it is the world's fourth largest stadium, right? Like, but it's got to
It's
be
also
somebody who's worth it. It's also Central Pennsylvania.
okay. Here's my list. Here was my list when you posed this
Yeah,
question.
go ahead.
I said Bruce, Garth Brooks, Taylor Swift, Beyonce, and of course our live taping of our podcast.
All viable options.
Yes,
The
particularly the
ones
last
you
one.
sent me after that, like I.
Okay. I want to know why you are upset about this answer, because I think this is the correct answer of the rock groups that are out there. The Foo Fighters. I think the Foo Fighters would pack Beaver Stadium. They pack any stadium that they play. They only play stadiums.
Maybe I'm just not a Foo fan.
I don't know what to tell you. Who do you want?
I think your list, I think your first part of the list is, that's it, right? Like, I mean, it's that.
There's one name that we
Maybe
didn't
Morgan
discuss.
Wallen.
I don't know. Got to watch out for chairs.
I know, and he's and it's funny because Luke Combs is kind of the squeaky cleaner country star. He just drinks. He's not kind of a jerk, right? So there's that. What's the one name we didn't go ahead?
Billy Joel.
I think
That
not
one is,
anymore. I
and
mean,
that's,
yes,
yes,
and
it,
with Elton John 25 years ago, not now probably.
that's kind of how I felt about it too, because I don't know, we didn't, I know we like talked about this in the, in your article kind of prior to the event, but Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks played the Horseshoe, and I don't know how full that one was, but Billy Joel kind of, at least I think it could at least have potential, because I feel like a lot of people have ingrained, same way with Bruce, in the northeastern part of the country, have ingrained themselves with his music.
Yeah, and look, it's he put 40 or 50 in there, right? Right, which is still a good day, and I think good days exist if they want them, in terms of the promoter and or athletics or whoever, however that responsibility breaks out. I guess different promoters for different artists, but I mean to make it feel like 80 and feel sold out, that's just not a, as big a co it's not a huge cohort of people, right? And the deal that they made for Luke Combs not to be in Philly or Pittsburgh on this tour seems to be like an essential part of that for whomever else. Like Kenny Chesney, as long as he's not going to Pittsburgh and Philly, okay. And then he could hang his hat on putting 85 in there if he tries and the stage is a little different, right? I mean, there's probably a couple of ways you could eke out a few more seats and say, this is the largest venue of my career. And he's played Neyland Stadium before because that's where he's from. So.
I mean, I think the other part that you do have to think about, and I don't know how rowdy the scene was on Saturday, but the Kenny Chesney concerts are like notoriously known for
Right,
quite
exactly.
literal shit shows and disaster shows all over the place. And
Right.
I don't know if you want to put up with that, like it, because that's a, that's more manpower, more people. I don't think you're going to get that with certainly any of the older groups. And I don't think you're going to get that with Taylor Swift fans. I don't think you would get that with Beyonce fans. Let me go back to the Foo Fighters. Maybe you pair the Foo Fighters, like I said to you, with another band, like Blink 182. That doesn't even sell
Not
you
my music.
on
That's okay. Maybe so. Sure.
it. Okay. All
Sure.
right.
I mean,
You just want Pink. That's all.
yeah, and she's not coming. And I think to the fans' point, I think that's a very good point about Kenny Chesney, just because of the expectation of those fans and the reputation they've owned. I mean, it's not like it's Hell's Angels, but like I drove past several fields, walked through a couple other parking areas as I was leaving. People bagged their stuff. There weren't a lot of, there weren't like, weren't littered broken tables all over the place and whatever else. People were there. I saw a lot of young kids, right? That came in with mom and dad, young kids that I don't know that I'd have brought to a stadium for a concert just because, drunk people. So I think that's it too. There's a sweet spot there. So those artists and people that can do this in that way is not huge. But then again, if they get 55 or 60, it's probably a success for whomever.
Yeah, I wonder what, I was just gonna ask, I wonder what the break even is on that. Like what the, because I think there is a way you could do it, maybe not necessarily like a music festival, but a pairing of certain groups of artists and kind of get multiple. I think you could have a, like I think the Blake Shelton thing, I don't think Blake Shelton, not that I know country music, but I don't think Blake Shelton was big enough of a country star even at that time, to get that many people. But if you would have paired Blake Shelton with, I don't know, name another, I want to say like Brooks and Dunn, but they haven't been famous for forever. Like somebody of that higher level, but maybe not quite the Luke Combs level, then I think you could get people
That's
in.
why the whole thing is just so interesting to me. And I know the curtain's probably not going to get pulled back, but right, you're paying one artist as opposed to multiple, right? In this instance, I mean, you might have paid him a lot compared to what you paid a couple others. And he made a great reference from stage, and he's right. Like, there's a big country music festival this past weekend in California called Stagecoach, where everybody's out there, and their attendance is going to be 75,000. It was 75,000-ish typically. They had 80 for one guy here, again, one night. So there's that challenge, right? How do you be efficient but impactful with the event you have? Because Penn State's, it's going to be one day, right? I think that's what makes it just interesting to me, how the machinations play out and what's next. And again, kudos, it came together well, and it was something they probably need to do to afford to do some of the things they want to do and keep up with the Joneses and a couple other ways that Coach Franklin has talked about and whatever else. You got to be number one in everything. So why not have the biggest concert? And they'll have that feather in their cap as well.
I didn't overall didn't hear, aside from the usual parking complaints, didn't hear anything terribly negative. So that's good. All right. Let's discuss the other big event of the weekend, the NFL draft. I consumed the draft. We wrote this I wrote this in the newsletter last week, but I don't think, and I think maybe this was something you said a few years ago when we kind of first started doing this podcast, but there's no better reality TV than the NFL draft. And I think Sunday night, or I'm sorry, Thursday night, I've got my days all mixed up. Thursday night was a prime example of that, between the Michael Penix pick early, just kind of like some of the just surprises, a couple little surprises here and there, seeing Detroit and seeing all the players' reactions. I think that came through. I think, honestly, I think it's the best TV sports event aside from the Super Bowl. I really do. Like, I thoroughly enjoy watching the draft that much. I didn't see numbers today. Did you see numbers on?
I did not. I saw attendance numbers, but I didn't see TV numbers.
Yeah, I didn't see TV numbers yet. But I think ESPN, I think NFL Network actually did a better job this year with the draft than ESPN's traditional broadcast did. I did spend most of Friday nights, the second and third rounds, watching the College Game Day, and that was much better than I wish I had watched that on Thursday night. And I thought Saban was, and I know everybody else is saying this, but I thought Saban was great, and I thought what we're starting to understand about Saban is what a great educator he is. And he could be a fantastic teacher in another life, like a great school student teacher type thing, because of the way he can kind of simplify complex topics, or simplify his complex knowledge of something into something that you and I can understand. So I think that was good. I didn't watch the McAfee stuff that much, aside from like what I saw on Twitter. I thought Belichick was good, fine. So that's my recap of that aspect of the draft.
Yeah, I
Any
think we
thoughts?
stuck with ESPN traditional one. I almost forgot about game day till I saw people talking about it, tweeting about it on social media. Saban doesn't surprise me. I think the producers for game day this fall have a diamond they can try to figure out how to polish and put him in a position to succeed, to do a little bit different, a little bit of, this is what this means, and still have fun with the game day stuff. Belichick being good doesn't surprise me. It's probably just frustrating as someone who wanted to consume the stuff that the dude had a personality for 40 years that he didn't bother to share, right? And I did the stuff I did see of him of like giving somebody praise. Oh, he's really good at this. Oh, but this, like the back and forth is like kind of what you'd expect a coach like him to do. And I do, I the TV show aspect of everything, almost everything about it, I guess I like what they do. I think it's overproduced the Bill beginning, right, with the national anthem and the songs. And
I don't need that.
I mean, we're just doing that to prove we can and show, we have different kinds of songs we can do, and we care about America. I mean, if they could do a flyover, I'm sure they would, or maybe I guess they didn't, right?
Sounds
Like,
like this year.
it's that kind of stuff. It just seems a bit much, but the rest of the reality TV is generally good. So yeah.
I think it's the main part about it that I enjoy the most, seeing the moment that the players realize their dreams. And I know that's cliche, and that's like what the media slash PR slogan of the draft is. But that is still the best aspect of the entire night. I think from the Penn State perspective, we kind of got to see that a little bit with the now kind of viral James Franklin video, which I thought was a fantastically well done idea. I don't know who was driving the car between those two, but they got really lucky with beltway traffic. I think that needs to be called out. So shout out to that person. But I think again, I think it was last week. I think Johnny McGonagall had a story about Julian Fleming, and it was a one-on-one interview, kind of a profile piece on him. And it was fantastic. And obviously, the stuff that comes from the Penn State football Twitter is state media, so to speak. But anytime that they can give us access like that, it's just the fan is so much better served. The moment with Ulu's mom saying "We are Penn State forever" was it one of the most genuine moments I think anybody at Penn State has captured on film. And then just James Franklin literally sprinting into the house. Again, I know it's all state PR in a way, but it was fantastically done, and I think we should at least acknowledge, or I want to at least acknowledge that.
Yeah, I usually think the hardest working man during the NFL draft is a Penn Stater, and it's Mike Signor, who works for the league, who, like in previous year, you'd see him back in the green room, like congratulating somebody and showing which way to go. And then while we saw that player walk to the stage and try on his cap and whatever else, till he got to the front of the stage and was pointed by where to go, it was also Mike pointing to him where to go. So I think he always had like the fastest non-player 40 time, and I always respected him for that. But James Franklin was the hardest working man in the draft behind the scenes this year, at least from the Penn State perspective. And I think kudos to everybody involved in that and making it happen, because it's the kind of content people want. And I think next level to that, I think expect more of that stuff as we go to, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about it in future podcasts, as they change their agreement with their rights provider and they want to get more money out of that agreement. Stuff like that is where they're going to find that. You know, they're going to try to find a way to create new and different content. And that's the kind of stuff that you're going to have to see if, when they go to Playfly, they're going to make more money than they were making with Clearfield.
I think that's fair. I think that's accurate. I was a little, aside from that stuff, I think the biggest surprise, Curtis Jacobs not getting drafted. I was a little surprised not to see him. I thought he would get drafted. It wasn't Chop Robinson going to Miami is talk about like two interesting personalities between Chop and Mike McDaniel. I'm interested to see how what the Jets do with Olu. I feel like kind of we're getting shades of Saquon PTSD of going to a New York team and not being taken advantage of.
You have a tight end with the Giants, the same thing, right? So
That's true.
that'll be a,
Yeah. Yeah. Theo might be in a worse spot. Theo might be in a worse spot. So, all right. Anything else about the draft?
Should Penn State fans, and I haven't looked at where the number is, care where the team ranks and number of players draft nationally, and then look back at records on the field? Like, to me, that's the most over, that's like a double-edged sword. Oh, we did this, and then people say, well, okay, yeah, but what about this? Right? Like, so what's your sense of that, and what people think when the messaging happens around that?
I don't know. I think I sent you the graphic. The guy that writes the code that powers all of the live stats on that we get on our website. That I call the API from. He scrapes it's a service that he created that I spend $1 a month on. He always sends out interesting graphics, and he shared the recruiting classes. It was a recruiting classes versus draft number of draft picks. And you look at the top right end, and it is like Alabama, Clemson, and LSU, and then maybe one other school that have all Ohio State that have all won national championships within the last X number of years. And some of those even during that recruiting cycle that he was looking at. And then probably about fifth or sixth place is Penn State. And I was like, you know what? That's exactly where I about how I feel with it. So that's how I
I
looked
just,
at and react to that. Like, this is maybe confirmation bias of this is the data that this is the data, and this is what the data says, and this is what's actually happening on a field, and they match. And this is one of the cases where they match. Penn
okay.
State is squarely within the top 10 to 15 teams in the country. They aren't a top four team.
Okay, that's fair. I just didn't know when to ask, so.
I do want to get on a soapbox real quickly, though, about
Cool.
there was a lot of rhetoric around, particularly around Kalen King, and him skipping the bowl game where the draft so that he could maybe go higher in the draft.
Yep.
Him skipping the bowl game had nothing to do with his stock falling. It was everything that kind of happened after that process, and maybe even during the Ohio State game. with Marvin Harrison. So I don't know. I just it doesn't like it. That's these bowl games are not going to make or break somebody's draft stock. I don't think we're ever going to see somebody's draft shot stock shoot up from a bowl game, because there's so many other data points prior to that and after that that have to be collected.
No, I agree. You're right. I mean, I don't. I think the bowl game, unless you're playing now, again, next year it's 12 teams that it matters for. But beyond those, it's irrelevant, right? It is. You've shown what you're going to do in the regular season, and they are going to test and interview and character evaluate and speed and agility, and they're going to make a decision based on it. And it's a meat market, and that's what it is. And you know, he's got an opportunity to say, okay, I'm a bargain. I'm going to prove you wrong, and I guess we'll find out.
No. Okay. Feel good about the draft. Got that off my chest. Anything else?
No question time.
Okay. Questions. I texted you a would you rather question this weekend and you never gave me an answer.
Oh, I don't.
So a
So
part
now
of
I'm
your
going to get inundated with,
punishment,
oh God. Okay,
part
I'm
of
going
your
to tell you, I
pun
just missed it, but go ahead. I'll look for it.
is to answer that question plus four other Penn State specific would you rather questions. Okay.
Okay, then I'm going to stop
And I
looking for
haven't
this one.
picked an answer on these yet because I feel like I tried to make these as tough as possible as I was sitting and thinking and coming up with these. So
Okay.
the question that I texted Steve that he ignored me on, ignored me, quote unquote, ignored me on, was, would you rather three NCAA tournament bursts over 6 years for men's basketball or one men's national championship in hockey in the next 10 years?
Oh yeah, I saw that. I didn't know that. I missed the would you rather question. I thought you were asking me which one is possible. So would I rather?
It was a.
I think I did respond. I think I
No,
said
you
hockey's
didn't.
not going to happen.
Maybe
Like
you
I
did.
don't think that 1 in 10 years is going to. So now you're beating me up for an answer I gave you
Okay,
back.
sorry. Well, but did you answer that
I don't
question?
know that I was a would you rather if, I guess if I would you rather thinking bigger picture for the athletic department. This is the lens I'm seeing that through. Bigger picture for the athletic department, the NCAA tournaments, right? Because they're going to make the program more money and it's a more visible program.
That's fair. I think even though you're a season ticket holder and I'm somebody that pays attention a little bit more, I feel like, than the average fan to Penn State men's hockey, I agree with the tournament burst just because it makes more money for the athletic
Right. It's
department.
just more, it's the right thing for the program
Okay.
overall.
Losing money, I guess, would be the next way to ask the next question. Would you rather a specific wrestling arena? So a specific facility for Penn State wrestling and Penn State wrestling only, or Penn State men's basketball slash women's basketball to play in Pegula Ice Arena to maybe build an environment, but still maybe not lose out on as many ticket sales.
I would say the second because I think Penn State wrestling has an arena. I know it's shortcomings. It is the best venue for a sport at Penn State right now is Rec Hall for wrestling. So yeah, I guess I would rather keep that. So I mean, I guess I'll go with
The hoops of Pegula.
the hoops then. And but the hoops of Pegula, now that they're selling beer in the Jordan Center. I mean, that used to be the thing. Like, you get a little bit closer and they're going to sell alcohol in the suites. Now anybody can buy alcohol. So I think atmosphere is just going to, I think the fish that saved Pittsburgh approach is going to continue for basketball, men's for sure. They're going to be competitive and half decent. The lower bowl is going to be okay and seem raucous enough when they're
Okay.
good. And I'm a little worried about women, honestly. So, I
They
mean,
lost
it
another
just,
transfer today.
you know, so that's, yeah.
I think it's fair to have a.
I don't know. I don't know if Morin Wall says new stuff before she was talking to us, and that's why she
Yeah,
didn't
she
give us an
was.
answer or not, but like, I don't know.
All right. Speaking of, I knew those would come up so well. I know my
Look at you,
podcast
dominoes. Here we go.
partner. Speaking of that question, would you rather a Lady Lions national championship or a men's basketball Final Four appearance?
I'll go the same logic as the first time. Men's basketball Final Four. It's just better for the program. I mean, maybe not now.
Is
You,
it?
people are going to tell me Kate and Clark, Caitlin Clark effect and whatever else. I will be a. I don't know that I'm going to be alive to see either one of those two things. But I think, yeah, they both feel about the same realistically. I guess. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I
I
hear
think
you. I
it's the
hear you
lady
with what you're
lions.
not saying about it in terms of the lady lions. I guess I
I
probably would rather, just because I'm probably more invested in that, because the kids, because of whatever following them. But man, I don't have a whole heck of a lot of hope about that
Jeez.
happening.
Jeez, we're causing Steve to spiral here. I think the Lady Lions is what I would pick out of that answer. Because I don't know. I think some of that's ingrained in the fact that paid more attention over the course of my life to Lady Lions basketball. I think you would get more PR. Then you would nationally, you would get more PR for Penn State women's basketball slash Penn State at larger if you win a national championship, at least in this market, than just the
That's
men
true.
making the Final Four. Like, does anybody really remember, outside of people that are really plugged into basketball, like, does the casual fan remember the FAU run? I think maybe like the Loyola Chicago ones are a little bit different, but like, I don't know if the FAU run is that unique, comparatively? Like, people pay attention to who the national champion is.
Did you just put Penn State basketball on an FAU level?
I mean, they were going to hire the coach, so.
I'm just asking, it's just what I heard.
Okay. All right. Next one. Talked about, we kind of have asked this question before. This may be a different reframing of this question, but we're going to go with it. Over the course of your lifetime, what's left? However long that is, let's hope it's plenty of years.
The best part, what's left?
Would you rather two football national championships or one football national championship and one Heisman Trophy winner?
I'll take the second one because I think it's more realistic. I think two national championships in my lifetime has not happened. I think there's one, and maybe you get a player who's somehow transcendent.
I haven't thought about this answer, but
You got more years. You can take the two national
I
championships. What's that Heisman doing for you? Not doing anything.
that's kind of well I felt about it. And that's why I think the two, because like the Lightning have won two Stanley Cups, right? Like, since I've like started paying attention to them. And the second one wasn't as fun as the first one, but it was still great. So I think I'm gonna pick, I don't know if the Heisman like does that much for me. Plus, like, I've already had like Larry Johnson and a couple of people come close over the course of
Larry
my
Johnson
lifetime.
was probably screwed, but that's, I think, because of people who didn't like him as a person. Like, I think if any, that might be my biggest, what to think about this, your biggest Penn State sports injustice for a segment sometime.
That's
Dude ran
good.
for 2,000 yards in the Big Ten without a lineman making first or second team. I'm pretty sure maybe one guy made second team and he didn't get any vote. Like, if an Ohio State man run back for 2,000 yards, or a Michigan guy ran for 2,000 yards with
Oh,
no
yeah.
offensive lineman, here's the Heisman today, you know, so.
Okay, that's a good segment. All right, this last one I'm not gonna answer, but it's Steve specific. All right, all
Oh,
right.
God.
All right, here we go. Would you rather give up creamery chocolate milk and never hear about NIL again, or keep creamery chocolate milk, but every time you drink some, so every sip that you take, you have to donate to NIL?
Oh, I'm never drinking chocolate milk again in the cream room. I'll find another
Wow.
chocolate milk fix.
Really?
I get it. I understand. And it's where we're going. But like at some point, like the education has to be worth something, right? Like,
Is. We just
and it's
had
just
Dion
pro
Butler
sports. I've
on.
got a pro sports team. I'm going to invest in my attention in the Steelers. If it's pro football, I don't need another pro football team.
All right. Wow. I can't
Wyatt
believe
Berry
he's
chocolate
getting.
milk is very good. It's just not as close to me.
The Apple Loops are just as good as Apple Jacks, let me tell you.
Oh, I think people would tell you in State College that it's not as far as you think. But yeah, I mean that those are pretty far into the scale. I mean, every sip of chocolate milk donated to NIL, that I would be hard
It didn't
pressed to
say it
hear.
had to be like a lot of money. It's just, a decent amount of money.
That was good.
That's all.
That was more bad. That was good.
Okay. I mean, see, I'm glad I thought these through. All right. This week's Old Guy Young Guy is brought to you by my dinner selection. Sorry, I don't know why the dogs are barking. I know why the dogs are barking, actually. It's brought to you
Wait, why are the
by
dogs working?
because Anna's walking in the door, I think. Which is related to this question. This is all
Okay, so
great
you had
for
to fend for
having.
yourself. So this is the question.
Yes. So, what is your wife says you're on your own for dinner meal, or your wife is out of town meal, because your wife goes out of town for work quite often. Anna has a lot of night meetings sometimes and says, do your
Do
own
you want
thing
the
for
healthy
dinner.
option, or do you want like just
I
the
want the, oh, I have two options that I usually go to.
what's your what?
A steak, which I had tonight, or Chick-fil-A.
Okay. I'll grill something salad, chicken or like
You
steak or
make
something.
it?
Yeah, like I'll do a grilled something salad. I can fend for myself. I'm pretty good.
Okay.
Or if I'm really bad, I'll grab a rotisserie chicken. And like that'll get me dinner and like nachos the
Lunch.
next night, right?
Yeah.
So for like $6 at Walmart, right? I get two meals, maybe three. There were times when she was in DC and I was here and we still had Little Caesars in town. Well, I was on the right side of town for these Little Caesars, and you get $5 for the two pizzas. That was dinner, breakfast, and lunch the next $5. Like that was like a day's worth of food for $5. So yeah.
Okay. All right. I respect all those answers. Domino's was on my rotation for a little bit there. Yeah. So I usually, like tonight, I just went to Wise and got a steak. Only had a steak. That was it.
Oh yeah. No,
That's
she'll
it.
if she goes, she'll be like, oh, you know, there's this, there's this. I'm like, I'm gonna cook, but like I'm not gonna cook something good if you're not here. Like realistically, I'll subsist, but I'm not gonna cook like something great just for me. Like if you're here, okay, we'll do that, but not by myself.
You don't go out, like you don't go out to eat.
No, I did when she was in DC and I was still here years ago, I went out, I would go out, well, I get the pizza more often than not because it was
Okay.
$5. I went out once to Haas's. And it rivals. There was a very pathetic night in college that, if Russ is still listening, both of our wives were overseas. And we went to what's the jock bar on the east end of town? Probably,
Permanis,
no, the
Gingerbread, East End of Town.
further past G Man and Primanti's, the
What?
den. We went to the Lion's Den with
Ah,
people.
the dead. Yeah.
I don't belong there. It's the jock bar, right? So we're both
No.
eating wings at the bar, looking pathetic like, well, our wives aren't here. Our wives and girlfriends aren't here. When Susan was in DC 5 years ago, I guess now, I went to Haas's by myself with like a magazine, like
That's
because
sad.
I was like, yes, that was very sad, right?
That's
You get the
sad.
Haas's food, whatever, and you're sitting at a two top table thing, looking at a magazine in your Haas's. So I don't usually go out or get takeout. I
Okay.
just cook something.
That's sad.
Oh
That's
no,
sad.
as I was, I started doing it, I'm like, oh, this is really bad.
Yeah.
Like I'm looking around, I'm like, is anybody looking at me? Because this is pathetic.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I usually just stay home and cook.
Okay. All right. I'm just curious. All right. That's this week's okay, young guy. All right. Let's see. Steve's probably gonna have something on the blog this week. I will most likely have something on the blog this week, but it's not a traditional like blog post. It's more of a information post, I guess would be the best way to
Nice.
say that. A living, breathing document, if you will. I guess we'll put it that way. So we've got that. Other than that, we've got a website. It's called stuffsummersays.com. On that website, there's a section called with
Steve.
Steve. We have emails. Mine's Darian at stuffsummersays.com. Steve's is
Steve at stuffsummersays.com.
yeah. If 5 stars, thumbs up, hit the subscribe button somewhere over in that general vicinity if you're watching. We appreciate everybody that's subscribing. It's the easiest way to help this podcast grow. Other than that, did we miss anything before we get to the very last part? You good?
No, go ahead, get the last part.
Okay. Twitter handles, mine's at Steph Summer says, Steve's is.
At Steve Samsel.
We're out of here. See you.